Hello, this is Pastor Travis George, Lake Hamilton Assembly of God Church. I want to welcome you to our podcast. We're about ready to join in on one of our recent Sunday services that has already begun. So get ready to enjoy some powerful preaching with some timeless truths from the Word of God.
Be seated today if you'd like. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Here we go, moving in the month between Thanksgiving and Christmas. The greatest time of the year. I love this time of the year. I love what we get to talk about and focus on at church, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How wonderful that story is, that Jesus came near, that He is known to us as God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, and it's wonderful. So this morning, I guess that's what got me started thinking about Psalm 150, is this morning I was thinking about Advent, the coming near of Christ, the birth of Jesus, and I thought, you know, if you read Luke's account of the birth of Christ, you'll find that when the angel came and announced to Mary that she was going to bear the Son of God, there's a passage of Scripture there where Mary praises God for the promise that she's just received through the angel. Now, folks, there's something right there that I need to tell you. She didn't feel any different. She didn't immediately get a baby bump, a baby in the belly. She was still a teenage girl. She had just heard a word from God through an angelic messenger that said, "Mary, you have been selected. You have been chosen to bring the gospel, to bear the Son of God." And so, you know, Mary begins to praise God. I said I wasn't going to, but you can find it in Luke chapter number 1, starting about verse 46. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And for the next several verses, all the way down through verse number 55, she begins to praise God. Mary begins to praise God. Not because she was already holding in her hands the delivery of a promise, but because God had promised. Amen. Are you tracking with me right there? Not because she already had this wonderful, beautiful bundle of joy, but because it had been promised to her that you shall be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and you shall conceive, and you shall bring forth life that is of God. And she began to praise God and say, "Oh God, how wonderful you are, and I praise you for what you've promised to do." Folks, let me tell you, we cannot wait until the baby is delivered to begin to praise God for the promise that is contained in that child. Now, I'm not talking about physical children that are born to our physical bodies. I'm talking about things spiritually that God wants to birth and to bring forth through your life. It might be a miracle of healing. It might be some other type of breakthrough that God wants to bring forth in your life. He might want to take you to deeper places. He might want to start in you some new ministry. He might want to lead you along a new path that you've never walked down before. He might be waiting and preparing you in the hallway of God's great house to open up a new door for you, a new opportunity, and new things that are going on. But while you're in the hallway, while you're just the waiting on the seed to develop and to mature and to come to fruition, you need to praise God in the hallway. Praise God in the in-between times. Praise Him before the miracle happens. Praise Him because, "Well, Pastor, I don't know what God's really promised me. Boy, this isn't even what I intended to talk about, but I think I need to right now. I don't really know what God's promised me. I got a nowhere job, and I'm just a nowhere kind of guy, nowhere kind of lady. I don't have a whole lot to look at. I'm in debt up to my eyeballs, and my life, you know, my health is failing, and my kids are this, and my whatever. I've got all these problems." I want to tell you right now, folks, that you just crack open your Bible and pick just about any chapter you want to read in, and you'll find things that God has promised to do for you. He has promised to make a way in your life where there doesn't seem to be any way that you can make it. Oh, thank you, God. My life is in a mess right now. Maybe that you could say that. My life is in a mess right now, but God, you've promised that you're going to make a way for me. So I'm putting my hand in yours and saying, take me there, God. Lead me there, God. Show me the way through this, out of this, beyond this, God. Maybe you say, my life is so messed up and I've made so many mistakes and I've committed so much sin that nobody could ever love me. And God says that he loves us even when we're in the middle of our sin. He still loves us so much that he gave Jesus to die for us. And the word says all you've got to do is confess your sin and he will forgive you and cleanse you and make you white as though you had never sinned. Clean and pure. Again, that what a praiseworthy thing right there. Not that I've made it through a perfect lifetime. I think I'd like to just have a perfect day, right? But we can fall before God where whether our day was an A+ or an F-, and say, God, that one's done. Now wash it all away in the blood of Jesus, and let's go tomorrow and do something better. You open your eyes this morning, when you open your eyes in the morning, instead of thinking, oh, dear God, I've got to get out of bed. It's already time to get ready for work. And I didn't feel like I got any sleep at all. When you open your eyes, just go ahead and begin to praise God. Anyway, thank you, God, that I've got a job I can go to. Thank you, God, I've got a body that's able to rise up and get out of here. And even if you don't have a job to go to, even if you got a body that's sick and aching, you can say, God, I praise you, because if this is the last day I ever live, I'm getting ready to enter into a place that's more beautiful and more glorious and more wonderful than words can tell when I step into your presence. There's always something. Christian brother and sister, this may be the day that Jesus comes back and splits the clouds for us and shouts and blows the trumpet and we go out of here. We can praise him because he said, if I leave, I will surely come back and take you to be with me. You see, there's all kinds of things that we can find to praise God about this morning. There's always something. For everybody that can say, well, I can find something to be upset or grumpy about or something that's not going right, I can say to you, I can put that silver lining around your dark cloud this morning, because his name is Jesus Christ, and he's never stopped. He's never quit. He's not any weaker than he was 2,000 years ago. He's not any different than he was 6,000 years ago. He's not any different than he'll be tomorrow. It's the same with our God, and we can praise him for stability. We can praise him. That word was used a while ago, immutability. Immutability means nothing changes with our God. Amen. Nothing's changing with our God. I don't know how to say it any other way, but God says nothing is going to change. He's the same. So this morning, as we talk about the Advent, Mary praised Jesus. And then you'll find as you go into Luke chapter number 2, which is where I wanted to direct your attention this morning before I said all of that. In Luke chapter number 2, when they announce that Jesus is coming, the first thing you're going to find is that some shepherds appeared in the field at night where some shepherds were watching their flock. And the first thing that they did when they appeared to those shepherds was, it says that they began in verse 14 to say, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth among men. I want to tell you this morning, the angels began to praise God there in the fields when they announced the good news to the shepherds. They began to praise God. Why? Because now, 9 months after Mary had the promise, now there'd been a breakthrough. The divine had broken through into the temporary. The supernatural had broken through into the natural. The God of the universe had been born in a tiny baby in a manger somewhere, and it boggles our mind to try to explain how it could happen, but we know that God came forth from creation. And there he was, born as a baby in a manger. And the angels began to worship and say, glory, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God and peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. Glory, glory. They began to praise out there in the field. And the shepherds went to town to see what was going on. And after they'd come and seen this baby laying in a manger, Luke chapter number 2 says that they went out shouting and giving praises unto God. There's something about being in the presence of the divine that makes somebody want to shout some praises and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you for breaking through into our common and ordinary life. Thank you for this breakthrough. Thank you.
thank you for this breakthrough. Well, Pastor, I just don't know if I'm going to have a breakthrough. I've been sick a long time, troubled a long time, worried a long time. This problem has been with me for a long time. Folks, this may be the very moment. This may be the very day. This could be the very opportunity when things change in your life and when there is a breakthrough of the divine into your ordinary. I want to talk to you this morning. If Mary praised God, if the angels praised God, if the shepherds praised God, you can read on the story when the wise men come later on. It says they worshiped God when they came and saw Jesus laying in the manger. You can see over and over again where worship, where praise went forward. I believe this morning that God wants me to tell you four things about breaking through in praise. Breaking through in praise. The first one is this. Breakthrough praise is possible because God's presence is in our midst when we praise Him. Psalm 22, verse 3 says that the Holy One of Israel inhabits the praises of His people. Folks, let me tell you, there is no better way I know to get beyond the cares and the concerns of this life and the troubles that everybody in the room has and the worries and the concerns and the aches and the pains and the disappointments. Whatever life has brought us, there's no better way to get beyond that than just to begin to praise the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. When we just began to think about how much money we owe there, or how many bills we have over here, or how we haven't yet attained the things that we had hoped for when we were young and we envisioned how our life was going to be, or how we never hear from our kids the way we want to, or why we don't get to spend as much time with the grandbabies, or whatever it may be that causes us to have a momentary lapse where we think, oh, woe is me, you know, and this just isn't very good. You begin to get your mind on something like, isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes not seen, ears not heard, it's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful, isn't He? What are you doing, preacher? I'm telling you that I can get just about as down low as you can, because I've got problems like you do. And if I were to tell you my problems, then you'd say, well, that's nothing, because here's mine. And we could all just get each other under the bench this morning by telling all of our problems and what's wrong and how far, you know, in debt we are, or whatever the case may be in your life. But I would prefer to talk about how wonderful my Jesus is this morning. Amen? Because no matter how high I can pile my failures, the King is bigger than my failures. No matter how dark my sin may blot my past, my future shines brighter than the brightest star, than the brightest sun, than the brightest light, because Jesus has set me free. So when I get in the midst of one of those times where it seems like all I'm saying is, well, this just didn't turn out right, this didn't go the way I wanted it to, and I sure didn't see this, well, I just want to get into the presence of God and begin to talk about touching Jesus. That's all that matters. And then my life is never going to be the same, because there's only one thing that matters, is just touching Jesus when He comes by our way. I'm telling you this morning, folks, if you don't believe me, then you just haven't tried it. If you don't believe me that praise will change things and cause you to have a breakthrough moment, then you just haven't tried it. Well, I just don't sing very well. You know what? God's not concerned about how well you sing, especially when it's just you and your troubles, you and your devils, you and your adversaries. You just begin to praise anyway, and you'll find, well, what's praising God going to do about the fact that I'm broke or I'm sick or I'm worried? It changes you. It changes your mindset. It takes you out of worry and puts you into faith. It gets your focus off the mountain, and it gets your focus on the God that moves mountains. It takes your focus off the giant, and it puts your focus on the rock that is able to slay that giant. Amen. It changes what you're looking at. It changes your way of thinking. It changes things in your life. Praise secures God's presence. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 5, Solomon had just completed the temple in Jerusalem, and they were having the dedication service. And it wasn't all the blood that was spilled from all the bulls, and it wasn't all the gold that had overlaid the cedar boards. It wasn't all the jewels and the silver and the gold and the copper and all the precious metals that had gone into adorning that temple. It wasn't in the beautiful garments that all the priests were wearing on that day. None of those things caused the glory of the Lord to come and fill that place. You read it yourself. But when they all had done all the stuff and they began to praise God, when they began to worship God, the last piece of gold was put into its place. The last drop of blood from the last animal had been put on the last altar. The last thing had been done, and the priests had began to praise God. When they began to praise God, the presence and the power of God came into that temple in such a way that the scripture tells me that the glory of the Lord was so heavy, so real, so thick, so tangible that the people could not continue to minister in that place because the presence of God was there in such a way. It says it was so heavy that they could not stand to minister. What did it? Not the gold, not the silver, not the sacrifices, but the praise. Folks, what's the lesson for us? Praise brings us near to God. Praise brings us into the manifested presence of the Almighty God. It is important that you praise God, that you worship the Lord. The second thing this morning that I feel like I need to tell you is praise brings you into the presence. But secondly, praise secures victory. Praise secures victory. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, a king named Jehoshaphat was facing a great army that had come against him. And Jehoshaphat set the singers and the worshipers in front of the army. And the praise went forward before the fighting ever started. And because the praise went forward before the fighting ever started, the battle was won before the sword had to be drawn. Praise will secure you the victory. Praise will secure you. I'm repeating that because I want it to soak into your mind what I'm saying to you. You see, do you need a victory in some area of your life? Instead of focusing all the time on that situation, instead of focusing all the time on how big your mountain is, how large your problem is, how difficult your situation is, start to praise Him. Because God inhabits praise. I just read to you before we started worship Psalm 150. I'm going to turn back to Psalm 149. 149 verse 6 says, "Let the high praises of God be in their throats, and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord." You see in that passage of scripture that praise coupled with the word binds up the enemy in chains and executes God's judgment upon the enemy. What? Look at those words. He says, "Let the high praises be in your throat and the two-edged sword in your hand." What's the two-edged sword? The two-edged sword isn't talking about going out here and getting a steel weapon, you know, with two edges that you can cut the flesh with. It's talking about the sword of the Word, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. When the enemy wants to come against you and bind you up, remind you how much you failed in your past, bind you up with something, get you hindered with things, you begin to lift the high praises of God, and then you use the Word of God against him. And Psalm 149 says it executes the judgment of God on the enemies of God. Oh, God, you began to pray. I am not sick, but I am well, because my Bible says that my God is the God who heals me, and by His stripes I am made whole. I am not some failure. I am not some second-class person. I am not some never-do-well, but I am a child of the King. I am an overcomer through Jesus Christ. I am well thought of and highly beloved in God's eyes. He looks at me and thinks good thoughts towards me and plans a hope and a future for me. You begin to say the word of God over your situation. And when the enemy comes against you, you know, oh, I am not going to make the wrong choice. I'm going to do the right thing, because God says that I can ask Him for wisdom and He will give it to me liberally. And so I'm going to make the right choice. I'm going to do the right thing. I just don't know how much longer I can stand up under this attack. I just don't know how much longer. Please don't say that. You may, if you think it, don't let it come out of your mouth. Why? Because you're just speaking curses on yourself. You're just speaking negativity. You're just ringing a fire bell in heaven. Hey, we got one about to fall right there. Let's go. But you're alerting the enemy that you're weak. So what do you need to say? I mean, I hear people say stuff like that all the time. I just don't know how much longer I can bear up under this. Instead, say, having done all to stand, I am going to stand because God gives me power to stand. I'm going to be clothed with the might of the Almighty God, and where my strength ends, His strength is going to be made perfect or complete. I'm going to stand. Having done all, devil, you just think that's too much for me? Well, I've got a big brother. I've got a mighty God, and there isn't anything you can put on me that's too much for Him. And with every load, He's going to lift me up. With every burden, He's going to carry it. With everything that gets beyond my ability, folks, I'm not trying to tell you that you can do everything, because none of us here can do everything. But the Bible says that you can do all things through Christ, because He will give you the strength. So instead of just making it worse on yourself by saying, oh, I just don't think I can handle this anymore. I've done it. Yes, I'm guilty of it too. But what I began to realize is that I've got the power of life or death in my tongue. And why say, well, I just don't think I can handle this anymore? Why not say, God, together, we're going to do this. I've got strength in God to do everything I need to do, God. I've got strength in You. I'm going to make it. Devil, You're not going to win. You are not going to win. I am not going to quit. I am going to resolve myself to stand. To stand against the things that the devil is working in our life. Did you know that the most common method that the devil uses to attack us is to bring discouragement, negativity, make you feel hopeless, make you feel despair? If that's what's going on in your life, hopelessness, negativity, despair, discouragement, then the best way to deal with that, the best way to deal with that negativity and that hopelessness and that despair and that discouragement is not to turn anywhere else except to lift your eyes unto the Lord. That's where your help's going to come from. And the best way and the easiest way that I know how to tell you is to encourage yourself in the Lord by beginning to praise God. It doesn't have to be in a song. I sang a little chorus a while ago because I love to sing. All you've got to do is begin to speak praises and use your mouth and begin to speak it. God, I love You and I thank You and I worship You, and begin to praise God today, because when you began to get your eyes back on the greatness of God, and when you began to declare the promises of God over your situation, it may not look like much now, but bless the Lord, give it some time, and it's going to spring forth and cause great things to come into my life. I may not look like much now, but bless the Lord, give me a little bit of time and a little bit of work on the Holy Spirit, and soon you're going to look at me and say, look at the power of God manifested in that life. I may look like I'm under the wagon wheel right now, but bless the Lord, one of these days I'm going to be walking on top, because that is low is going to be lifted up, and that seems to be the tail is going to be made the head, and me, who doesn't appear to be much, touch, my God is going to make me into something if I'll just keep my hand in His hand and follow the plan that He's got for my life. I can sing and I can shout of the love of the Lord and talk about His faithfulness and talk about His goodness and talk about His mighty power. And I'll find that those things that I'm worried about just kind of fade off into the background. Sort of like when you're, you know, here's a good illustration. If you're at home tonight after dark, you've got the lights on in your living room, open up the front window of your living room and look outside and see how far out you can see. When you're in the light, you can't see very far out into the darkness, right? Turn off the lights in your house and open back up those blinds and you can see out into the darkness. What's the point? The light representing the love and the power of God. When I'm living in the light, man, that darkness is kept at bay. Darkness and light can't dwell in the same place, and I can see the light and the goodness of God. But if I want to turn my back on the light and begin investigating what's out in the darkness, all I will see is darkness. Right? You understand what I'm saying? God and darkness, light and darkness don't occupy the same place. It's impossible. And so if I get my eyes on how sick I am, how many problems I've got, how much trouble I have, how discouraged I am, how much I don't like this or don't like that, buddy, that's all I'm going to see. You know this is true in your personal life. Let your boss or your spouse or your best friend begin to do something that bothers you, and you start noticing how much they do that bothers you, and pretty soon you'll say, well, I never noticed this and that and the other thing. Why, there's not just one thing that person does that bothers me. There's a dozen things. Why? Because you begin focusing on the dark and you'll see more dark. Right? But when we begin to put our eyes on the light, who is God, we begin to put our eyes on Jesus, put our eyes on God, put our eyes on the Word of God, give praise unto God, we don't notice the dark because we're in the light and in the love of God. I want to encourage you this morning. Well, Pastor, you haven't said yet that anything's actually going to get better. You've just said to ignore that is troublesome. I wish that I had a dollar bill for all the time, for all the hours that I have spent worrying in my past about things that I thought were going to be terrible that never came to pass. Or if they did come, it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I walked the floor and I lost sleep at night and I worried about it and I troubled about it. And then when it actually happened, it wasn't nearly as bad as what I thought it was going to be. Somebody know what I'm talking about there? You know, it's like, oh my goodness, oh no, what's going to happen? Oh no, I don't know, oh goodness, oh my. And then when the actual thing happens, you realize, well, nothing happened at all. It wasn't bad at all. I wasted all that time. What I'm telling you is many of the things you are afraid of, many of the things that discourage you, many of the things that cause you despair are not real at all except in your thinking. And you're worried about them. What if I get cancer? What if I lose my job? What if my spouse leaves me? What if my kids don't want to have anything to do with me after they turn 18? What if? You can what if yourself right to death, I guess, worrying about all the possible outcomes. Well, what if you get your eyes on the Lord and begin to praise Him and thank Him for the things that you know are true? Let me tell you, brother, I may not know whether it's going to rain tonight or not. The weatherman says 60% chance, so it may or it may not. But I can tell you this, everything that my Lord and Savior has said in these 66 books is going to happen because He said that it's going to happen. He's not a God that rolls dice and guesses at what's going to happen in the future. What He has said, that it will happen. And I can worry about what might happen in my poor, pitiful life, or I can put my eyes on Him that makes things happen and causes things to happen. And instead of worrying about what might happen if, I can say, dear Lord, I trust You, and I know that even if all the world passes away, Your Word is going to remain true, and I'm going to be all right. I don't have to try to figure out all the problems. They're going to be okay. I need to move on. Praise secures your victory. Praise helps you unburden. There are people here right now carrying a burden, weighed down by a load. You've got this heaviness on you. I am not talking about something demonic. I'm just talking about life. The Bible talks about a spirit of heaviness. We get this heaviness on us. This heaviness. But God has promised to take that spirit of heaviness from us and give us a garment of praise. Take off that heaviness. You see, praise secures an unburdening. Man, I can remember so many times coming into a service, a church service, with so much going on in my life, and just getting into the praise and worshiping and praising God in that service, and how much better I felt when I walked out. I hadn't been to the altar and bawled and squalled and laid it down. Sometimes you need to do that, and that's perfectly acceptable. But there's been many times when just praise secured my unburdening. And I knew that I'd been in the presence of God because I had praised the Lord while I was in the house of the Lord. And I knew, I could feel that heaviness was gone off of me. That heaviness was gone because I had praised God and been set free. Oh, I've had times that I felt downcast, had that gnawing in the pit of my stomach because I was worried or under stress or in fear of something, but I also know what it's like to feel that lift where that worry, that fear, that gnawing thing in the inside of your stomach is gone because you just know, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just know that it's going to be all right. I don't know how he's going to make this thing work, but I just know that it's going to be all right. Can I get a witness? Has anybody ever felt what I'm talking about? You don't know how, where the new job is going to come from, how the money is going to come in, what God's going to do to touch your health. But you just know that you're not worried about it anymore. You just know that that worry, that fear, that anxiety has lifted off of you. And you feel, buddy, like you can walk on clouds, like your feet aren't touching the ground. You just know that Daddy's got it all taken care of, right? You just know that Abba, Father, has got it all worked out, and you're just trusting Him to do what is right. Praise helps you to unburden, and you can exchange that heaviness for a garment of praise. The last thing I want to talk to you about is found in Acts chapter 16. So we talked about all the things that praise, breakthrough, praise can do for you. I want to talk about one more thing this morning, and then we're going to praise God for just a minute before we go home. In Acts chapter, I don't even have these scriptures marked yet, so I'm turning over there while you're turning. I feel like this is the word that I was supposed to bring this morning for somebody that needed to have a breakthrough moment today. In Acts chapter number 16, we go down to verse number 25. Acts 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Praise secures release. Praise brings you into the presence of God. Praise secures the victory. Praise helps you unburden. And praise helps you obtain release. It helps you obtain release. Paul and Silas were locked up in a physical prison. They were there for preaching the word. They had been locked up in the most secure place. I guess they would be in maximum security that jail in Philippi had to offer. But they began to praise God. They began to sing hymns. They began to sing psalms, is what we would call them out like in our Bible. They began to sing through the psalms because they didn't have I'll Fly Away or those that we think of as hymns. So they began to sing what they knew, right? They began to sing the psalms that they knew, the hymns that they knew. They began to sing and worship God. And there about midnight, that prison began to shake. And they were set free. The Bible says that the jailer and his entire household were saved. Paul and Silas were released. That's a physical story that represents things in the spiritual. Folks, sometimes the devil succeeds in getting us locked up in spiritual prison. whatever it is, it feels like it just has us bound up. Like we're just locked up in prison, man. Maybe it's bad choices that we made. Maybe it's, I don't know, but things happen in life that make you feel like you're just all bound up, like you're locked up. You're locked up in bad choices. You're locked up in a cycle that keeps repeating itself. You're locked up in something. The circumstances you find yourself in are irrelevant. If you'll make up your mind to be determined to praise God anyway. Whatever that prison may be, a business enterprise that you never should have taken on and it's turned south on you and now you feel like you're locked into this thing. A relationship, a friend, somebody that you've entered into a relationship with and you know it's not right, but you feel like you're locked into this thing now. Some habit or some addiction that's locked into your life and you feel like no matter how much I try, I can't get free of that. Let me tell you, if you want to be free, God has the power to set you free. From whatever the most addictive things are in this world, my God has greater power than that addiction. I have seen, I'm not anything but a preacher of the word, but I have seen people go out to their vehicles during an altar service, bring their cigarettes in, lay them down on the altar, and walk out and never smoke another cigarette. I have seen people come to the altar, as crazy as this sounds, folks, I've seen it. If somebody told me about it, I'd probably doubt it, but I've seen it. I've seen people come to church house drunk, come to an altar, and get up from that altar after having given their heart to Jesus as sober as I am right now. Go out to their truck, and before they leave the parking lot, pour the beer out that they had in their truck, getting rid of it, and not drink again. I know that my God, well, Pastor, are you trying to say that smoking and drinking are going to send me to hell? I'm just telling you that my God has the power to break addictions off of your life if you're ready for a change. If you're ready for something different, if you're ready, maybe that addiction is to lying, lying tongue. You just find it so easy to lie. God can break and you say, I'm never going to lie again. I'm not going to tell another one. And that's probably a lie right there because, you know, what I'm saying is God has the ability to break that addiction off of you, break that habit, break that cycle off of your life. And folks, I'm telling you that it's available for you. It's available through the power of the Almighty God. That thing doesn't have to be a monkey on your back anymore. God can set you free and give you deliverance from whatever the problem. You begin to praise God. Get your eyes off the problems and praise Jesus. To praise Him and exalt Him and testify of the goodness of God. Good. I want to tell you one little personal story, and then we're going to praise God for just a minute. I can't preach to you on praising God and then not have an opportunity to praise God at the end of the service. So we're going to do that. But let me tell you one little personal story that I know that what I'm telling you will work. I don't know why. I don't understand why. Because I've got two wonderful parents that raised me up and did a great job in bringing me up. But when I was a young person, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, when I was in my early 20s, I was horribly, terribly shy. Shy. As my uncle would say, that boy's backwards. Thanks, Unc, that helps, you know. Oh, my goodness. I can remember trying to get up and just sing This Little Light of Mine with some other kids from children's church, and I would run over there behind the piano, which was on that side of the stage, and hide behind my mom's skirt. Terribly, painfully shy. I had this issue where I could just know. I didn't know, but I just knew that I knew, you know, that people were always talking about me and that nobody liked me and that everybody thought that I was something, you know, negative things, right? Very low self-esteem, very poor self-image, and shy as anybody you would ever meet. And I don't know why, because my parents didn't beat me. They didn't abuse me. They're good people. Mom and Dad did a great. Where did that stuff come from? Nobody was, you know, pouring out chicken blood and making curses. You know, it's not like that. It was some kind of black magic, or I don't know. It's just the personality, the things that were there. So from the time I'm about 12 or 13 years old until I'm in my mid-20s, I'm telling God I can't preach the word because I can't even stand up in front of folk. How am I ever going to preach or witness to anybody if I can't even stand up in front? I'm telling God why I can't do the thing that he's called me to do. Finally, as I'm wrestling with that, as about 24 years old, 24, 25, the Lord brought me to the scripture. It tells me that we can take every thought and bring it into the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to me, in my praying and talking and thinking and seeking God, what the Spirit was revealing to me was this. When you began to think those thoughts, you began to praise God. When you began to think, well, old Brother Joe doesn't like me, you began to praise God. When you began to think, I believe they're talking about me, you began to praise God. When you began to think, I'm too afraid to get up in front of somebody, you began to praise God. Bring that thought. Don't let it sit and ruminate and stir around. Get your mind on something else. And the best thing you can get your mind on is how awesome God is and how wonderful the Lord is. Folks, let me tell you, little by little, step by step, sometimes moments at a time, God was able to transform me. Now, I'm not going to begin to pretend that I'm the most extroverted pastor that's out there, because I'm not. But if you could see the Travis George of 21 with the Travis George of 42, you wouldn't recognize that other guy. Because little by little, step by step, moment by moment, as I began to praise God and bring the thoughts in my mind under the captivity of the presence of God and praise God anyway, God began to do a work in me and began to change things in my life. And now, it's no big deal. Oh, I still get butterflies in my stomach every time before we start service. I don't want that to go away. Why? Because I believe that keeps me depending on the Lord and not depending on me. But folks, let me tell you.
Well, Pastor, that's nothing. That's no big deal.
For me, it was Mount Everest. I'm just telling you, perception is reality, right? And those problems I'm telling you about in my life were as big as Mount Everest. There is no way I can do what God wants me to do because I can't get over this mountain. But in God, you can. But in God, you can. I don't know what your big problem is. I don't know what your big issue is. Maybe today you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm walking on air, man. Everything is coming up roses and my life is wonderful. Or maybe you're the one or two or three or five people that the Lord specifically gave me this message for today that are pulling mountains. You don't have a monkey on your back. You've got a 500-pound gorilla in your life, right? And you're just tired of fighting, tired of the struggle, tired of the trouble. I want to tell you this morning that God sees you in the midst of your problem. God sees you in the middle of your struggle. God knows exactly what you're going through. And God would say to you this morning, I believe this word. I didn't intend for you to deal with that by yourself. But God, I made the mess, and Mom and Dad always said that you got to sleep in the bed that you made, and so I've got to take care of my own problems. And God says, child, you can't do it. With man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Don't wait till you get this problem solved before you come to me. Let's talk right now, and together we'll solve this problem. I don't care what the issue is. The God who loves you wants to help you solve your problems. He wants to help show you that there is a way. But Pastor, the things I've done are so terrible. God loves you anyway, and he wants to help show you that there is a way out, and there is a life after sin. There is a life after failure. There is a hope and a future for you, whether you're 42 or 92. You're still here this morning, somewhere in between, younger than me, older than me. you're still here, so God still has plans for you. God still has things he wants to do with you. I want to tell you this morning that if you don't praise him, you won't know the tremendous power of breakthrough that praise brings. But if you will just praise him, if you'll just praise him, whether it's through the song or the dance or the clapping hands or the just simply opening your mouth and speaking praises without any music, without any singing, you'll find that you'll draw near to God and that things will begin to change in a positive direction in your life.